Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Wednesday, March the 19th. Coming up, a Kent pub chain boss says prices will rise and there'll be fewer part-time jobs as major tax changes come into force. We'll explain all. Clearing tons of illegally dumped waste is due to get underway and a forest site in Kent celebrates its 100th anniversary. But first today, this is our most read story. Masked raiders have stolen £100,000 worth of stock from a wholesaler's in Medway. At least eight people are thought to have cut their way into the industrial estate unit in Chatham in the early hours of last Wednesday. Well, reporter Sean McPolin has been covering this story and joins me now on the podcast. Sean, thanks ever so much for being here. You've seen footage from the night of the break-in. Can you describe it to us?
Yeah, of course. So, first, you can see it's at night time, it's about 4 a.m. and this white van pulls up out front. Two blokes wearing masks go up to the gate from the inside, who've already made their way in. The van reverses and rams through the gates. Obviously, add a bit of force, they've had to pull it open. It pulls up to the front of the unit where the rest of the masked men have come out and they're filling the van with all the stock that they've pulled out and put in bags. But the more dramatic footage is actually from inside, where you can hear sort of the tools and the cutters they're using to get through the wall. They make their way in, sort of run immediately to the sensors and the alarms, turn them off, and then they spend, I think it's about an hour or two, just filling up all the bags of all the stock that's in there.
And what exactly was taken?
It was mainly vapes that they took. It was around about, the owner said, about £80,000 to £100,000 worth of stock. And they think in total they took around 2,000 boxes worth of vape. They had a delivery the day before. And they told me that they took the majority of that stock.
Now, you've been chatting to the owners of the wholesalers. They've asked not to be named, but how has it affected them?
Yes, it's had a massive impact on them, not only financially, but emotionally and sort of psychologically. It sort of left them feeling feared, like unsafe, paranoid. One of the owners told me they're always looking over their shoulder now, like when they come to the unit, even when they're at home. They've decided to install security cameras because they just don't know what's going to happen next. They fear that they could be targeted at home or the unit will be targeted again. Then add on, of course, all the stock that was taken. They say it's knocked them back basically when they started 12 years ago, so they're starting from scratch again.
And finally, what have police had to say?
They've said they're investigating, but there's no major updates at this stage. All they can say is from the footage that there are several people they're looking at.
Sean, thank you ever so much. Elsewhere, a woman who was tied up during a violent robbery in Sevenoaks has described it as an horrific experience. A man armed with a gun stole nearly £1.5 million worth of jewellery from a property in Parkfield near Wilderness Golf Club last June. The case has been featured on Crime Watch and police have given us this recording of the suspect's voice.
Open the garage.
A £10,000 reward's been offered to anyone with information that leads to a conviction.
Kent Online News.
A deal man who murdered his pregnant wife more than 25 years ago is due to face fresh charges at Crown Court today. Andrew Griggs reported 34-year-old Debbie missing from their home in Crossroad in 1999. He was jailed for life in 2019. The 62-year-old is now accused of perverting the course of justice and obstructing a coroner in the execution of their duty. A Folkestone man's been arrested on suspicion of carrying out a violent robbery. The victim was walking along Clarence Street when she had her bag stolen and sustained minor injuries at around 11:30 on Monday night. A 46-year-old remains in custody. A homeless man who's registered blind has appeared in court after stealing groceries from supermarkets in Canterbury and Dover. Tony Dawkins had only just been released from prison and spent his benefits on living in a hotel. He says he had no money left to buy food or alcohol. The 56-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, has been placed on a 12-month community order and must complete 20 rehab sessions and pay compensation. A woman's narrowly avoided being crushed between two cars following a crash in Sittingbourne. A driver hit a parked car, which was shunted into two other vehicles on Staplehurst Road last Wednesday. A 22-year-old says she was topping up her washer fluid when the wheel of her car ran over her foot. She was taken to hospital, but thankfully only suffered minor injuries. Now, the work and and pension secretaries confirmed personal independence payments won't be frozen following a backlash from Labour MPs. Liz Kendall also announced changes to the eligibility for universal credit from 2028 during a major speech in the Commons yesterday. She says the overhaul of Britain's welfare system will save £5 billion a year. The shadow work and pension secretary is Faversham and Mid-Kent MP Helen Whateley. She actually said that changes should have gone further, but they do see eye to eye on some things.
This is a now or never chance to seize the moment, a now or never for millions of people who will otherwise be signed off for what could end up being a lifetime on benefits. But this announcement today leaves me with more questions than answers. How many people will this help back into work? By when? Surely we haven't been waiting 8 months just for another green paper. Where is the footnote reform crucial to stem the flow of people onto benefits? Where is the action on people being signed off sick for the everyday ups and downs of life? Why is she only planning to save 5 billion when the bill is forecast to rise to over 100 billion? And do the savings she's announcing today include the 5 billion savings we'd already agreed with the OBR for reforming the work capability assessment? Because if so, she has made virtually no savings of her own. What is the saving net of the additional expenditure planned? Fundamentally, this is too little, too late. The fact is, 5 billion just doesn't cut it with a bill so big going up so fast. She needed to be tougher. She should be saying, no more hard-working taxpayers funding the family next door not to work. No more free top-of-the-range cars for people who don't need them. No more sickfluencers helping people to claim money they don't need.
Kent Online reports.
Santander has announced plans to close 90 branches, including three here in Kent. Herne Bay, Tenterden and Dover sites will be shutting, with Gravesend and Sittingbourne branches becoming counter-free. The moves put 750 jobs at risk across the UK. New figures show 130 children aged between 0 and 7 were injured on Kent's roads over 12 months. In 2023, there was one fatality recorded, along with another 116 serious injuries. Today, road safety charity Brake is hosting Beep Beep Day to help educate young children and their carers about being safe near roads. Meantime, a boy from Snodland who was thrown into the air after being hit by a car has been reunited with the ambulance crews who helped to save his life. Henry was on his way to watch the Euros final at a local football club with his dad when he stepped into the road and was hit by a vehicle last July. He was flown to a London hospital for emergency surgery and is still recovering. His parents say it was humbling to meet the paramedics and dispatch team who dealt with the case on that day. A person's been treated by paramedics after a fire at a flat in Tunbridge Wells. It broke out in the bedroom of a property in Mount Ephraim yesterday evening. Three fire engines were called to tackle the flames. Now, next today, we're going to hear from a Kent pub chain boss who's warned that fewer part-time jobs will be available and prices will rise as major tax changes come into force next month. The amount employers have to pay towards national insurance is set to increase. It was a controversial part of the Chancellor's first budget last autumn. I've been chatting to Phil Thorley, who runs Thorley Taverns in Thanet.
I think financially it's going to be worse than COVID. And I know that's a very strong statement, but I am talking financially and not any other way. When COVID hit, we were given furlough to be able to support our team. We, as a company, did not make one person redundant during that. And we were also given grants to assist us through. Come the 1st of April, the government are imposing on us new insurance rates, national insurance rates, and a new threshold. And that is going to be effectively in perpetuity. And for a small company our size, we employ 400 people, is going to cost us over £8,000 a week. And that's without the national minimum wage going up. And to be honest about it, we're not sure how we're going to get through with this. We have to get through. We've been going 50 years and I'm, you know, we will. I'm hoping that we're going to be here for another 50 years. However, £8,000 a week is an inordinate amount of money. And I've got to say, I don't think that the government realised what they've done to retail, hospitality, or the high street.
And we know, particularly because you and I have spoken many times, how the hospitality sector has continued to struggle after COVID as well.
Look, we seem to be, meeting one disaster after another. We got through COVID, and then we had Putin going into Ukraine, and then what that did to the utilities. We come out of that, and then we get a financial crisis, and we come out of that, and we're now given the worst budget since I've been in business. The worst budget for young people, the worst budget for jobs, and the worst budget for retail and hospitality.
You mentioned there your 400 staff. Are their jobs safe, Phil?
Well, I'm looking to try and keep their jobs safe. I think some of the hours may wind up having to be cut. We've got to try and trim around the edges. We are an operating company. We are professional. We've got 400 people who work with us, and we look to give the customers the best service that we can. However, bills have got to be paid, and HMRC is somebody who doesn't wait. So you've got to make sure that we balance the books. So I think there are going to be less hours for the team members we have. And I think that we will look to be doing less part-time people, therefore less younger people, and looking to try and consolidate those into full-time jobs because it becomes more cost-efficient to anybody in our type of operation, not just Thorley
And
Taverns.
what about your customers coming into your establishments? Are they going to see prices go up because of this?
I think they're going to see prices go up across the board. And it's once again, I'm not talking Thorley Taverns. I think I'm talking on behalf of the whole hospitality game. We have just had a manufacturer's, so the brewer's increase, which comes through to us in the first week of February. We've just had that. And I can foresee another price increase coming on once these national insurance comes through. And that could well be in the region of a further 5%.
Some strong stuff there from Phil. Now the Chancellor says she's making taxes fairer and the money will fund public services like schools and hospitals. You can let us know what you think by heading to the story at Kent Online today and leaving a comment. You can also post a comment on our socials.
Kent Online reports.
Work to clear woodland near Ashford of tons of illegally dumped waste is due to get underway next week. The Environment Agency's confirmed equipment will start to be moved onto Hodes Wood. Removing the rubbish will take more than a year, with around 20 trucks a day moving to and from the site through the village of Hothfield. Sally Smith is from Kent Wildlife Trust.
We're absolutely delighted that the cleanup's going to start. It's been a really long time coming, but thank goodness the time is almost there, and not just for us and the wildlife, but for the community as well to start getting this way woodland cleared so we can have our woodland back and somewhere for the community to be able to walk.
Just remind us, Sally, the scale of what's happened there and what, in fact, has been dumped there over, well, a prolonged period of time.
At Hodes Wood, there's actually 35,000 tons of treated waste on that site. It's enormous what's been done there. The lorries will come in day and night. It's a massive operation to get that site filled with that level of waste, and it's going to take time to clear it as well.
Yeah, we've heard it's going to take, well, over a year to clear it. I'm sure you can understand why it's going to take so long, but there must be some concern from residents that this waste is going to be going past their houses. I guess there's no other way of doing it, is there?
Unfortunately, it took a long time for that waste to get there, and it's going to be a long time for it to be taken away. It's obviously been dumped there with no care, and there's going to be an amount of professionalism needed to take that away. It is unfortunate it will cause disruption, but thank goodness the time has arrived where that site will be cleared. It is a site of special scientific interest. It's a nature haven, and hopefully, it can be restored to some form where it can be great for wildlife once more.
You mentioned treated waste. Are you able to go into a bit more detail as to what that actually is?
from the images and the drone images that we've seen, it looks like shredded and treated waste. From the little of what we've been able to glean on site without breaching the closure order, it does look like it has gone through some kind of treatment and recycling works before being dumped at that location.
So it could be a mixture of anything. We know we've spoken to people who live not too far away. They've obviously complained about the smell that's coming from there. As they remove that waste, will they be taking particular care to avoid, well, obviously any spillages of it, but also, you know, smell and things like that? What's that going to be like?
The smell from the site already, it is quite strong. I was talking to a reporter and a camera crew who had been up there filming on site, and the cameraman told me that he actually threw away the shoes he'd been wearing because he couldn't get the stench out of them after being on site. So taking it away probably will cause that level of disruption. But at the moment, if you go to Hodeswood, you can't get away from it. So by taking that away, then hopefully in the long term, the community will be able to breathe clean air once again.
Now, we have been in touch with the Environment Agency. They've sent us this statement.
A criminal investigation continues in order to bring before the courts more waste criminals using Kent as a dumping ground for waste for profit. This is organised crime. Criminals like these take advantage of the public and businesses who believe them to be removing their waste legitimately. They shamelessly dump it at beauty spots like Hodeswood and others, spoiling the countryside, making it someone else's problem to clear up and to make money from it. We will make sure those responsible will answer for their actions. Anyone with new concerns or information relating to suspected waste crime can call our incident hotline on 0800 807 060 or Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. Information given to either number will be treated confidentially.
Residents have criticised plans to build a warehouse on Greenbelt land in Swanley. An application's been submitted for an area of farmland near Hockenden Lane. Developers say it would create new jobs, but people in the area are worried it'll be an eyesore. A tiny strip of land on Sheppey that was earmarked for potential housing has failed to sell at auction. The plot on Queenborough Road in Halfway had a guide price of just under £10,000 with a suggestion two houses could be built there. Despite bids, it failed to meet the reserve price. And plans for a new £10 million hospice in Kent have been scrapped. The Pilgrims Hospice in Canterbury first suggested relocating to a new building 10 years ago, and planning was actually approved in 2020. COVID and construction costs delayed the project, though. They'll now modernise their existing site instead.
Kent Online News.
This is a really lovely story. A dog that was found abandoned with severe head injuries near Sittingbourne has been inundated with gifts after being rescued. Bandit had to have surgery after being discovered in Ridham Dock Road last week. He's being looked after by Angels for Dogs in Thanet, who've shared a picture of all the donations that have been sent to help him. You can see that by heading to Kent Online. Bedgebury Pineatum have announced a programme of events to celebrate their 100th anniversary. Since 1925, the site has grown from a tree collection into an internationally significant conservation centre, which welcomes more than 500,000 visitors each year. Among the celebrations, there'll be a specially designed walking trail and an open day. Kath Weeks is from Forestry England, which manages the site.
We've got two big public events. So there's one in May half term called a Buyer Blitz, which is where families come together with experts and volunteers in a kind of race against time to try and record as much wildlife as possible in 24 hours. And then there's a big kind of public birthday in the summer holidays on the 31st of July. So that's where we basically kind of put our shop window on display and say, come and find out how fantastic the Pineatum is, how great it is for families. We've got a trail going in, which will talk all about the history of the site. We're doing guided walks. And the thing we're really excited about is that we are going to be part of a Kew exhibition. So that link with Kew is still there. We have a team of botanic artists who have painted 20 beautiful paintings of some of the trees in the Pineatum. And that's being exhibited at Kew from mid-April to mid-September as part of a bigger exhibition called The Power of Trees. And we're thrilled to bits about that. And then that's moving to our sister site, Western Burt Arboretum, in the autumn. And so that's really just a sort of a hint. And then the best way to find out about it is if you go type in 100 years of Bedgebury into whatever browser you use, and that will take you to our website and that will tell you everything. And there's a lovely video on there as well.
And you mentioned the
title. So it's packed year.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned the title the power of trees. What are the power of trees?
Oh, goodness me. We can't live without trees, really. They provide the oxygen that we breathe. They provide so much of the materials that we use. They are kind of holding up a lot of the ecosystems of the planet. And they've inspired us. And people love trees and have loved them for sort of centuries as well. So they're an absolutely key part of human life and biodiversity on the planet as well.
Kath Eyre was speaking to our colleagues Cameron and Izzy from the Kent Morning Show on KMTV. Today, conservation experts from around the world are gathering to plant a Japanese hemlock tree. Churches in a part of Kent have been given £11 million to help attract more worshippers. The Diocese of Rochester, which covers the north of the county, will be getting funding from the Church of England over the next 5 years. It'll be used to boost training for new clergy, as well as work with families and young people. The home-based star of a hit new Netflix drama says it was a great challenge. Ashley Waters says filming the hard-hitting adolescence miniseries was an intense experience that left him crying most nights. The show has attracted rave reviews and follows the investigation of a young boy who's arrested on suspicion of committing a murder. A Kent youth club has been given a funding boost after a visit from an American businessman. Gifted Young Gravesham's received a £50,000 donation from Christopher B. Mundy, who grew up in the area. He attended a fundraising show featuring West End stars at the Woodville while visiting his hometown. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get the very latest details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.